Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this June the 16th on the West Coast, June the 17th now on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zones. Special thanks to Dr. Len Horowitz for the promo on the show, and also I want to encourage everyone to follow what's going on with the Concert for the Living Waters, the live H2O event that's going to take place around the world. We're going to talk tonight about things that are going on in the world. And I'm actually, before we bring our guest on, I'm going to just review a few things that have been happening recently. And they have a lot to do with not only what we're going to talk about tonight, but things that are going to be coming up in the very near future. The truth is being revealed to us around the planet. We know on this show now that we have millions of people listening to us, and we're grateful for that, and we encourage everyone who is listening to tell your friends about the show and get people hearing the truth. I know for many in certain parts of the world, it's daytime, you're working, but if you're on a lunch break, possibly, or having your breakfast, you might be able to tune in. Certainly, you can come back and listen to the archives, and we are going to make the archives available of this show on CD in an MP3 format. It can fit a number of shows on one disc, easily 100, and depending on their length, of course, but let's say somewhere around 100 shows can go on one disc. Certainly I can put a month's worth of shows on one disc, and you can listen to them, refer back to them, share them with people, and I want to let people know that that's going to be possible. Also, very soon, we're going to work something out with BBS Radio that my listeners can subscribe to the show at a possibly a reduced rate from the overall archives of the entire network. If you're in a pinch financially and your interest is just to obtain the archives of this show, we will make them available to you for a nominal fee. And I can tell you that that will barely cover the bandwidth of the show and my website, let alone anything beyond that. So that's another thing that we have in the works. Also, the video presentation that I made of our May 29th call from space, when General Jeremiah from the United Galactic Federation, Galaxy of Hendon, called in and shared some very basic precepts of how the Federation came about, why they exist, why they are here, their role in helping planet Earth along the way, and some of the reasons why they don't interfere. And we're anticipating a call in the future. After all, he did promise that. The video is being assembled for publication on YouTube by Mr. Ken Adachi, and I have a much higher quality version. It's a much larger one. It takes up a good portion of a compact disc in movie format, and you can soon obtain that also. And that'll be something that I'm going to work out with BBS Radio so that they can expedite those out to anyone. And we're going to have very reasonable price for the disc, as well as specials on multiple copies. A lot of people have come to my website to view it, and the audio archives are also posted, but I encourage you to look at the video because of the magnificence of the photos that are included in there. And the majority of those photos came from the Galactic Federation, with the exception of Jim Murray, of course. Jim Murray gave me those photos himself, and my photo, which is there. So it sort of gives you a visual representation of some of what we're talking about, and it's it makes it easier to listen to the interview. That said, I would like to sort of move into tonight's topic, and I'm going to have a little serenade in the background here, just for the vibe. And I want to say that many people now who are awakened are wondering, okay, where are we? What's happening? They're coming to grips with the fact that the Earth is sort of being congealed into this entity that those that consider themselves to be the illuminated elite, they call themselves the Illuminati, and they have other names for their secret organizations. The Great White Brotherhood is one that they use, even though they're not all white. And they are busy creating distractions, smoke screens, what we call smoke and mirrors, false flag events, and there's a group of people who research what is going on and talk about what's going on. Some write about what's going on, and they see that it's like a snowball now that has turned into an avalanche, rolling down a mountainside, ready to take out whatever's in its path, and when it hits the bottom of the mountain, it's going to smash society around the world. And a lot of people are very uncomfortable with that. Many who are awake and are in tune with what's going on are very disturbed by what they see, because they feel that they have no power. And it's quite the opposite. If you're working with God on your side, there's no limit to the amount of power you have at your disposal. The question is to understand some of the things that some have written about, some talk about. We even talk about that on this show quite a bit. And that's your relationship with God, your relationship with Jesus Christ. Some prefer to call him Asu Sananda. As long as we are talking about the same individual who happens to be a big inspiration, and the reason why the Galactic Federation came about is that there's a fellowship going on between 574 planets. And these people have devoted their lives to coming here, witnessing what's going on here on Earth, and influencing it for the better when the time is right and when the conditions are appropriate. They're not going to interfere. They're not going to come here and save us. We have to do that ourselves. We have to be responsible for what's going on. Now, those of you who feel that God has called you into this life to perform whatever it is you're doing in this life, and maybe something that you're even unaware of that's coming up in the very near future, you may be distressed by what's happening, because it seems like everything's falling apart. And in a way, that's good. It is falling apart. The world economy is falling apart. They're trying to make it look like it's okay, and the stock market's doing fine, and as long as the big corporations are making their money hand over fist, they're going to tell us everything's all right. But how has your lot changed? And are you waiting for someone to give you something, or are you creating your life in real time? And you don't do that by watching TV, and you don't do that by diverting your attention to other issues. You have to stay focused on these things. You have to pray about them. You have to, I say you have to, you don't have to do anything, but if your intention is to rise above this, then by all means, if you want to understand what's going on, you've got to pay attention to it. And you have to consider what you could contribute in a positive way. I mentioned the Concert for the Living Waters. That's definitely a step in the right direction. There are going to be people around the world who are going to be praying, chanting, singing, making music with the intention of making the supreme connection to the Creator. And this is about empowerment. It's not about destruction. It's not about oppression. It's not about slavery. It's not about the lies and the deceit and the corruption that's rampant around the world. It's all the opposite. And only good can come from that. Now, I've posted a book, and it's only 56 pages, but it's really heavy spiritually for anyone who is interested in finding some answers as to why they may be here. And you can extract from the material what you will. It's called Servers of the Divine Plan. It's in a PDF form. I have the whole document on my website, directlightproductions.com, and you can download it. And I've already heard from a few people who have been reading this, and they're amazed at how much they're learning about themselves and how they feel about things that have happened in their life or things that appear that they're about to happen in the context of understanding higher vibrations, understanding prophets that came here, understanding people that have lived lives serving humanity. And we've got to take the bull by the horns and do this work. We can't depend on anyone else. The governments around the world are run by organized crime, and there's nothing else to call them. I wish I could. I would if it were possible. So we're going to talk about that topic tonight with our guest, who is a health consultant, a health scientist. He's an herbalist. He's a historian and a former chemist as well, and also a musician. And he's our good friend. He's appeared often on Evident Footprints, and he's with us again tonight. Mr. Michael Anthony. Michael, welcome to the show. How are you?
Hi, good morning, Don. Great. Thanks, and great to be back with you.
Well, it's great to have you here. You got to hear me talk a little bit about service, serving humanity, and I know you're doing that in your area. Your approach is you're serving nature too, I might add, and give me some of your thoughts on this as far as the general topic of service. And in light of, you know, how I sort of opened up this can of worms, if you want
to
call it.
I'd be glad to, Don. And far from being a can of worms, you're actually opening up a can of light, I would say. In order to really experience life to the fullest, then we have to realize what we are. And once we realize that we're divine beings, living a physical experience in a physical body, spiritual beings created divinely, and therefore we realize at that point that we belong to something greater. And then once you consider that we're here living this life, what is life? Mother Nature, this creation, the world of nature, the world of man intertwined. And I, for example, with me personally, I always say to myself, I didn't put myself here. Obviously, the divine being put me here. Why did he put me here? Well, there's the key question to unravel everything else. And once we realize that the reason why we are here is to serve the Almighty, to serve his creation. And through that service done, we find fulfillment in our own personal lives. And it doesn't come any other way. Unfortunately, we're not taught this. and by the so-called authorities like the church and any other institution of higher learning, as they would say anyway. But that's the key and the crux to our whole existence. Once we begin to serve creation, that's our fellow man, that's everything in nature, like an angel planted in a garden, our duty is to protect the garden and to ensure that the garden survives at all costs and remaining intact in harmony the way the Almighty designed it to be. And that's really, in a nutshell, you know, condensing it all down, the sole primary objective of our existence.
Mm-hmm. Now, I just want to be clear, for the sake of the listening audience here, that when we talk about service, I'm not, first of all, I'm not talking about it in the sense that most people are familiar with it. You know, we came out of the industrial age, and we sort of went into the technological age, and then the powers that be, these mega corporations, created all kinds of outlets to sell their products, and whether it's furniture or appliances, stereo equipment, speakers, computers, all kinds of electronic gadgets, et cetera, et cetera. They talk about the service that they give, and this is merely in with the intent of selling a product, and dealing with the people who are for whatever reason they like to use the word disgruntled. Usually, when someone goes into a place and shoots everyone they can see, they say, "Well, this person was disgruntled." But we're not speaking necessarily about that kind of service. That's important, but it's not the same as serving mankind in relation to God's plan, in relation to God's word, in relation to the role that we each, and I'm convinced that we've all done this to some extent, at least those of us who are serving the divine plan. We have committed to play a particular role. Now, is this meaning that this is just a play and none of this is real, or is this something inspired from higher up? Well, I feel that it's a higher vibration, and that through the acts of kindness and the acts of love, and certainly by aligning our intention and our actions and our service with God's word, we will be doing the highest calling that people can do here on the planet. Certainly, it's not going to include the murder and the war that's going on. It's not going to involve the participation in the intentional starving of people or the poisoning of their bodies and their minds with drugs and vaccinations and the spraying of our skies and the poisoning of our water and the corruption of our food and, you know, the genetic modification of the food, removing nutritious substances from it, on and on and on, not to, you know, exclude pollution and political oppression and all the insanity that's going on. We have a very high calling, those of us who are delivering a message. And I know this about you, that God has his hand on your life, as he does mine, and many others who appear on my show. And we do this courageously. We do this without the usual fear that others have, particularly those who are not even awake. And so we're talking about service, which is giving of ourselves through our complete contact with the Creator. It's not a semi, annual sort of thing. It's moment to moment when you become consumed. Do you want to expound on that a little bit?
Sure. Yes, Don, it's something you live. It's a way of life. It's 24/7, 365. in their modern vernacular. And it's not that any of us are special per se, so I don't want anyone to think that anyone is extra special because they may be serving the Almighty and His creation in a more advanced way than they are currently. We're all here. We all exist for the same reason, for the same purpose. We all have our own specific destiny. We're all divine beings. None of us are better than anybody else. However, at the same time, some have cultivated their talents, utilizing their energies without wasting it, their time and energies, specifically to cultivating their talents more than others. And so, therefore, people seem to be no longer quite equal, but we're all born equal, we're all made equal. It's just what we do with our life, our time, that we're given. That's what makes the difference between all of us. But we're all the same. We're all here on the same mission to serve the Almighty and to discover what the Almighty is all about, because the more we understand what He's all about, the more we'll understand what we are all about. When the rich man that wanted to follow the Lord Jesus, he gave away all his wealth and he approached the Lord and said, "Master, I gave away all my possessions, everything you said, I'm ready to follow you. What else do I need to do?" The Lord says, "Man, know thyself." Because it's all about understanding us, what we are, what we are not. Once we make those clear distinctions, then everything becomes clear inwardly, perceptively, as to what our purpose is. And we all have certain talents, and there's no limit to those talents because God created us and there's no limit to Him. And we cultivate those talents to exploit those talents for personal gain and to serve creation. Now, that's not exploitation in a negative way. For example, Don, very talented musically, great musician. You exploited that so you could better your life. That's a positive exploitation with the talents. And as you bettered your life, everything in your environment bettered itself as well, because you care about everything in your personal environment. Your family, all your friends, all the animals that you care for, all of that benefits as you benefit yourself, as the Lord rewards you for cultivating your talents. And so there's nothing selfish about that at all. It's all very positive. We're taught to be selfish by the traitors, the counterfeiters. Me, me, me. Don't worry about anybody else. You only go around once. Get what you can. All that hogwash, which is so ridiculous. And so they distract us from our real purpose, our true original intention when we're being born to come here. And they know that, and that's what they do. They're masters at deceit, deception, lies. And so we can't get caught up with their nonsense, but we have to be aware of how they operate so we know how the enemy lays out the traps so that we can walk along and fall into them. We have to be aware of how they operate so we don't fall into their traps, into their hands, and become another victim of their system.
Mm-hmm. I want to share something with you, Michael, and with the listening audience. It's called Past and Future. I tell you that the children of yesteryear are walking in the funeral of the era which they created for themselves. They are pulling a rotting rope that may break soon and cause them to drop into a forgotten abyss. I say that they are living in homes with weak foundations. As the storm blows, and it is about to blow, their homes will fall upon their heads and thus become their tombs. I say that all their thoughts, their sayings, their quarrels, their compositions, their books, and all their works are nothing but chains dragging them because they are too weak to pull the load. But the children of tomorrow are the ones called by life, and they follow it with steady steps and heads high. They are the dawn of the new frontiers. No smoke will veil their eyes, and no jingle of chains will drown out their voices. They are few in number, but the difference is as between a grain of wheat and a stack of hay. No one knows them, but they know each other. They are like the summits, which can see and hear each other, not like caves, which cannot hear or see. They are the seed dropped by the hand of God in the field, breaking through its pod and waving its sapling leaves before the face of the sun. It shall grow into a mighty tree, its roots in the heart of the earth, and its branches high in the sky. Khalil Gibran.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's great with his writings. I hope a lot of people study Khalil Gibran, especially Jesus, the Son of Man. That's my favorite work. And you can gather, the man knew something. Now, if I can, Don, since you brought him up.
Sure.
Jean Savoy, who was a world-renowned archaeologist, but amateur as far as being trained, didn't go to college or anything like that, was mocked by all the established archaeologists because he's an amateur. He's not one of us. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're college trained. Look at, who's he? Who's he to tell us there's a lost city down in that jungle? We've already been there. We couldn't find nothing. And then he goes down and finds it and makes them all look like fools, and he did it time and time again.
Mm-hmm.
He was led by the Holy Spirit, made a lot of great discoveries. And unlike the modern archaeologists who wanted to raid and take back to their museums and their own selfish enterprises ruins of ancient civilizations, Jean Savoy was specifically looking for the libraries and all the writings and manuscripts, everything in those libraries. That's all he wanted. He left everything else untouched, kept quiet so that the modern archaeologists wouldn't come down and raid everything. And so he was a really good guy. He died just recently, over the last couple of years. But he was good friends with Khalil Gibran to some degree, as I recall. And in Jean's book, In Search of Immortality, that's where he reveals that Khalil Gibran admitted to his personal secretary on his deathbed that he was Judas Iscariot, paying back the Lord, all of his wrong doings to the Lord, betrayal, but this was his last lifetime in that payback, and this was his easiest lifetime out of all the previous ones. The Lord blessed him, and he was able to write beautiful works, and all of it was about the prophet Al-Mustafa, but when you read the prophet or the prophet returns, you know he's really talking about Jesus the Christ, and then lo and behold, you find his book, Jesus the Son of Man, and then sure enough, you know, that's who he really was praising all the time. That's the personage that he could never, ever stop thinking about. And Jesus the Son of Man is so revealing because we want to know so much about this great man, Jesus the Christ. The four Gospels are very limited in everything that the Lord said and did. This guy, Jesus the Christ, amazed everybody from being a little child all the way to his adult years. Everywhere he went, people were stunned by his presence, just being around him, even if he didn't speak. But when he did speak, everybody was totally, totally absorbed. He had very few enemies. The only enemies were those that were jealous of him. That's all there is to it. He had no other enemies. He was adored by everybody. He was so great. And so Khalil Gibran really pays great tribute to the Lord in his book, Jesus the Son of Man.
Yes. Now, going back to this thing I mentioned from May 29th, where we got a call into the show from the United Galactic Federation, Galaxy of Hendon, one of the prerequisites for all of these planets having become a part of the Federation, according to General Jeremiah, who called in to the show, is that they were all at some point in their planet's history. We're talking about 574 planets. We're not just talking about somebody around the block. 574 planets across our galaxy. Now, just compare that statement to what we're told by NASA or by our government about life elsewhere in the universe. Mm-hmm. It's absurd what they tell us. And yet, the fundamental message was that they all had been taught by the person that we know as Jesus Christ. They were taught, and some of these people, some of the elders, for instance, of the Federation, these are the wise men who make the decisions, the important decisions that have to be made, based on intelligence information, based on their own intuition and their understanding of the creation and how it the evidence appears everywhere throughout the universe. And some of these people live over 500 years of age. Mm-hmm. Think about that. Now, that they can do that, they have to be living a sacred life. They have to be living in purity, with a cleanliness in thought and deed, as well as the physical aspects, eating healthy and most of all, it's about love. The bottom line, the message that came through is that these people all love each other and respect each other mutually. They're different from us, and yet they're very human. Their skin tones may be different, their eyes are different, or their hair is different, their height, the things that we look at in terms of physical, but this is a spiritual issue. It's spiritual. That message that came through on the 29th was of a spiritual nature. It was very uplifting for anyone that was searching for those answers. Those answers came through. It was disclosure, Michael, on a massive scale.
Yeah, well, that's a beautiful thing, Don, and it's true. The Lord Jesus the Christ is known throughout all creation. Every quadrant of the universe is very familiar with him, and only the fallen angels despise him. Everybody that loves the Almighty loves his Holy Son, Jesus. But even down here, Don, we don't have to go too far to realize we've got people, we're all kinds of different people on this planet with different physical characteristics. Yet, we're all the same on the inside. We're all spiritual beings from the same Creator. And we all have the same desires, the same needs, and we all have the same tests, the same tribulations, the same crosses to carry. And so all we have to do is just come to terms with that and realize the only enemy we have down here are these big bloated governments that are corrupt and also full of treason in every respective country. Their government officials are betraying their people as they serve the international bankster Rockefeller Rothschild cabal for their global UN initiative. And that's our only enemy. As people, I have no evil intentions or malice of any way towards any people at all. Even those that may choose to be my enemy for whatever reason, because they don't like me or the way I look, it doesn't bother me. I have no ill will towards anyone. But I despise and I will never accept or tolerate devil worshippers, people that are crooks and traitors, as well as people that abuse children and animals. I don't accept that. I'll never buy that. And I will do all I can to shut them down and to eradicate them if I'm given the opportunity. But aside from that, I wish all people well down here. And I'm hoping that we can finally grow up as people and realize this simple understanding that we should all have and work together. Work together as Americans in our own country. Let's drop the whatever differences there may be between personal dislikes and likes about each other. Get beyond that. People, we got a country to protect and to make sure stays on track so that it lives as a country a godly way of living, so that the blessings of God continue here. Otherwise, they'll stop. And when God's blessings stop, everything stops. Your country's over. That's the history of this planet. When God blesses you because you're good, you're great. Your country's great. But when you go bad, God just simply stops blessing you, and it's over. You stop, your country falls apart, and it's just that simple.
Mm-hmm. Now, in the past, Michael, and I refer to the past in the historical sense, because in the reality of the universe, when one is fully conscious, there is no past or future. It's always in the now state. Mm-hmm. Everything is seen as a continuous stream or a continuous flow of events and creation. And we, because of our agreement to come here into this prison planet and be confined to a body throughout most of our waking activities anyway, we are somewhat limited in understanding what we know on a higher plane. In other words, we come here agreeing to forget what we know about those things with the intention of remembering them throughout our life's experience. And those of us who don't remember keep repeating the same mistakes. It seems that these oppressive governments that existed in other times, in ancient times, Atlantis and Egypt are two examples of societies that collapsed because of making the same mistakes over and over again. They lost their power, they lost their wealth, they lost their influence, and it's mostly because of greed or the necessity to dominate or exert their will over the masses. And these things are destined to fail, and so we know just by history, even not having all the facts because of all the obfuscation, we know that these societies are destined to collapse. The economy, a fiat banking system, is destined to collapse because it cannot feed off of itself. It's like a cancer that overtakes the body, and eventually the body becomes consumed by the cancer. Then there's nothing else. It brings the death of the body, and if that body contained a soul, that soul has moved on to some other place where it contemplates the next step in its progression, in its progression towards full consciousness. That could take eons, based on some of what goes on this planet. Some will never even have the opportunity, I feel, to achieve that level. In other words, they'll have burned all the bridges down behind them, and there's no place for them to go back. They will make that decision, or they will just become totally incompatible with the energies, the higher energies. And so they won't gain access to those realms of consciousness or experience. And, when it was said that in my father's house, there are many mansions. We tend to think of a house as we know here, but it's talking about the immensity of creation, the galaxies and all the planets and
dimensions.
Yes, and the dimensions, absolutely. See, right. So when we talk about the spiritual now, we're talking about transcending this existence. This is what is occurring here, despite what science says. Science has no clue.
Those are the false scientists. The real scientists have the clues.
Yes, yes, but when I speak about scientists, Jim Murray is on this show, every week.
A real scientist. We're not talking about the phony scientists that are trying to tell us there's global warming.
Yeah. In fact,
we're having the coldest start to a summer so far since I've been around, anyway.
Mm-hmm. In fact, we've done a few shows on and Gene Savoy's work, too. Jim's very, very familiar with his life's work, And we've talked about that to a great extent. So, you know, kudos to you for picking up on that. I don't know if you've heard those shows, but...
No. Well, actually, I did. I did hear one, in fact, with Jim, I believe, discussing Gene Savoy to some degree, yes. And, in fact, I was almost going to call up, as I recall, because I was going to answer one of the questions Jim was posing at the time regarding Gene. But it was all about immortality, just like I've always said down, you know, when we start talking about things and the big picture. It's always about immortality, and that's what Gene Savoy was trying to track down, the secrets about immortality that the ancients knew. Yes, even here in this in our world, in our time frame, there are people walking around on this planet that are hundreds of years old. They don't jump up and down with signs and say, look at me, I'm this old. They're very discreet. And you would never know they were old because they look young, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Don, it's all accomplished by what would be known as the power of virtuous living. And that's what Jesus was all about, the power of virtuous living, doing everything right, treating your body like a temple that it is. And, of course, we're taught how to destroy our body temple. And then understanding our spiritual nature and how to develop it, and all that means is the awareness, growing the awareness, our awareness of what we are and how we got here and who got us here and what that being is all about. That's God Almighty. And that's all our spiritual nature is all about, understanding our godparents, and which I call the Father, Mother, and Son of God. I know a lot of Christians will have a problem with the mother part. And then using our mind constructively. And when we use our mind constructively, we're using the Almighty's mind. If we're using our mind destructively, always in fear, worry, doubt. I'm just losing my job. What am I going to do? Big changes now. I wasn't expecting this. What am I going to do? Worry, worry, worry. And that's how we succumb to the entropy of negative energy. We have to use our mind totally positively all the time. We have to be warriors on guard. Where are my thoughts going? What am I thinking? All the time, 24/7. Can't stop that until we have such mastery control over our mind that it never deviates. It rarely deviates from being totally positive, totally focused on being the spiritual being we are by design, a powerful being with incredible awareness and with that, the sensitivity to appreciate everything. That's the key. Never taking anything for granted, but appreciating everything that is good that's in our lives.
Mm-hmm. Now, there's the issue of the power of suggestion. And, of course, this is, you know, the strength, the backbone of television and radio to some extent. In that when there's the intent to create illness or ill health, the opposite of well-being, there is this insidious manifestation of disease created through thought forms, word pictures, symbology, and really, the lies that are told about diseases and the cause of disease and the intentional spreading of disease, either through the so-called cures or...
You gotta love that one.
Oh, right? Man. I mean, I get so bent out of shape over this. And yet,
yeah, rightfully so, Don.
Yeah, and people still... I mean, you notice there is this this... insidious intention to just undermine our health at all costs, with mm-hmm. this secret plot to eliminate anywhere from 50% to 80% of the world's population. They figure if they reduce the population of the Earth to maybe 500 million people, half a billion people, that's manageable. They can maintain a slave society. of course, they, the powers that be, have the intention of picking and choosing who that's going to be. And looking back at our recent history, just going back 30, 35 years, really we could go back much further, 100 years, and we could see this plot unfolding and developing and gaining momentum, gaining speed, sort of like that snowball rolling down the hill, eventually becoming an avalanche.
Yes.
They are very concerned that we are waking up and we figured this out. And so they're trying they're trying to legislate poor health, really, is what they're doing. Their intention is to create poor health, to make everyone be submissive to this, as if they know what they're talking about.
Yeah, we have to accept them as authorities, even though they're always proven wrong in everything they tell us. The bottom line to the whole picture is, it's all a big lie. Everything you learned is a big lie when it's everything you learned from them. But they are losing their grip, and they know it. There is an enlightenment going on, and excellent talk shows like yours, Don, are achieving that, along with other venues like publications and stuff. But it's a natural phenomenon. They can't stop it. It's God's sprinkling of awareness across the sleepy planet Earth and dispelling the clouds of ignorance, and it's long overdue. And thank God it's going to grow more and more and more. And these good-for-nothing lards that want to feed on us like parasites and vampires are going to have to die. Finally, they're going to have to just disappear, disintegrate, evaporate, go back to the slimy hell they crawled out of, because the people will be too intelligent, spiritually astute enough to realize who the enemy is and not pay any attention to them. No longer care about their way of doing things, their system. They'll realize following God and His way of living is the only sure way to be happy. Now, being happy doesn't mean you have a pile of treasure somewhere in your environment. It doesn't necessarily mean being rich tremendously at the physical level. What it means is being tremendously rich at the spiritual level, and then eventually you'll have everything, because the Lord said, "Seek ye the kingdom of heaven first, then all things will be granted unto thee." So as we pursue the kingdom of heaven, which is spiritual development, then, as our spiritual nature is greatly enhanced to the reaching the potential it's intended to achieve, then everything comes to it like a magnet, everything else.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's no stopping spiritual power from drawing to itself all good things.
Yes. There's a list of things that is published in the servers of the Divine Plan. And I'd like to read these to you. These are the present-day servers, those who are on the earth currently with the responsibility of helping. And these are just a few of the points, but these are going to resonate with listeners who are part of this plan. Number one, to hold before the eyes of humanity the vision of the current phase of the divine plan for Earth. Number two, to educate mankind regarding the most pertinent and urgent issues of the day. Number three, to guide others toward a realization of their own innate divinity. Number four, to inspire mankind to enter upon its destined work of planetary service. Number five, to restore balance and therefore to help heal planet Earth. Number six, to receive illumination from the higher worlds and to share this wherever appropriate for the furtherance of mankind's spiritual interests. And number seven, to act as a bridge between the old and the new, the lower and the higher, by receiving light and power from above and using both of these under the inspiration of loving purpose to eradicate evil, reinstate virtue, anchor the new Aquarian frequencies into the physical plane, and so help build the new world of tomorrow. Now, notice the word order is not in any of those seven definitions, mm-hmm. as in new world order.
Sure, but that's okay even if it was done, because as I always explain, there's two new world orders, God's and the devil's. God's is all about freedom. The United States of America as a constitutional republic is God's new world order. And it amazes me when I hear some people, you know, supposed experts on the founding fathers, and they're patriots, and I'm not questioning that. But their expertise on the founding fathers, I do question when they say that George Washington was a part of the New World Order, serving the globalists and all that, serving Lucifer. And how can that be? George Washington is the only general in the history of the world that was great, defeated a large empire, and yet never set himself up to rule as king. That's unheard of. Even the British called General Washington, after the Revolutionary War, they called him America's Caesar. And yet, it's like, hold on, George Washington never came in on his own country and took it over for his own glory. He never did that. Caesar did to Rome. So he's not a real Caesar either. He was a unique individual that knew his role in the destiny at that point in time, and he served it the best he could. And I admire that man to this day tremendously because of that, because when you study what his life, you know this guy did everything he could to be as virtuous as he can under all situations. Now, all we got to do to appreciate that is live virtuously 24/7 under all situations. See how easy it is. And then you can appreciate when a guy is able to do it just about every time. And so God's New World Order is all about individual liberty. You see, we have a king, sure enough, Jesus the Christ. But he's the only king that wants his subjects free as he is. He doesn't want any real tributes or anything like that, heavy taxes, no. All he wants is total adoration, appreciation for what he's all about and what he does for us, and then to carry on with his work, which is to live like brothers and sisters with each other and the rest of creation. And a lot of times when people say, well, you know, he's getting a little too extreme, he's worried about the animals and stuff like this, people have to realize that it's written in the book of Enoch, the first book of the Bible, which the Jews took out because it contradicted a lot of what they wanted to believe about God and how to live. Because nobody, according to Moses, can look at the face of God and live, but Enoch did. And also, so that's one of the reasons why they say they took the book out. But I believe the other reasons are because Enoch shows us what happened, warns us about the enemy, shows us how they operate so we can be prepared. And I think that's the main reason why that book's not in there. But nonetheless, the book of Enoch, when the Almighty himself is conversing with him, when Michael the Archangel takes Enoch, the great-grandfather of Noah, the father of Methuselah, grandfather of Lamech, and great-grandfather of Noah, the seventh generation from Adam, God loves him so much, he takes him to heaven, and then he talks to him one-on-one, allows his angels to tour all of his creation. He writes everything down about why everything is the way it is and where it's going to all go. He sees the future, the birth of the Lord and the end times. And so he says, write it all down and give it to your children and have them pass it down for all posterity so that everyone will know. That way on the judgment day, nobody can say, but God, I didn't know. And so In that book, he reveals how God tells him, on that judgment day, even the animals will be called forth. And any animal that accuses any man of any wrongdoing will be punished. And so for those that say, well, animals don't have souls or spirits, and I hear it all the time, then why is God going to allow them to, on Judgment Day, have a say over mankind?
I can tell you one animal that's going to talk back to God.
Who's that, Frank?
Yeah. Yes, and he may ask him some questions, too.
Sure, but God will enjoy that whole conversation.
It's in his repertoire, let me tell you. It's in his repertoire.
The animals are beautiful creatures. And, you know, and right now, at this point in time, like around here, because of all the development over the last 30 years, a lot of the habitats are gone for these wild, for the various wildlife. They don't have a natural place to live because man, in his selfish pursuits of making money, being greedy, building more and more parking lots of malls and ridiculous buildings. How much repetition do you need with stores and all that nonsense? And so they stole the habitat from animals without any concern, any regard for them and their lives.
And they're killing the animals, too, systematically.
Sure. And so the animals now are forced, they live right in your backyard, in a development where there's no woods, no nothing. There's deer trying to have, raising a family right there with no woods or nothing because they have no choice. And in my backyard as well, I've got various wildlife, woodchucks, raccoons. They have really no other place to go anymore, so they know it's pretty peaceful. The word is, this backyard, it's pretty quiet, pretty serene. Everything seems to be pretty good. So they're moving in, and I let them all know. They're all welcome, and just don't, like the woodchucks, I don't want them nesting under the garage or anything like that. But aside from that, everything is welcome because I understand their situation, their plight. They have no place to go. It's disgusting. And then when you see people rout them out, well, they can't stay here, Mike. Well, where are they going to go? Why do you think they're there? You think they're there because they have all these options and they chose you? No, they have no options and they're stuck there. Otherwise, they're going to get poisoned somewhere. There's nothing to eat anywhere. Where are they going to get their food to eat? There's nothing. There's nothing. And so, as I live my life, Don, and I pursue my dreams, my aspirations of developing my whatever talents I may have and trying to make them better, to exploit that so I can better my life and better everything that I care for. So while I'm doing that, every time I see something that needs something, I offer assistance to it. And even if it's I'm in a rush, I got to do this, I got to do that. But nonetheless, I put the brakes on and say, hold on, hold on. It's my responsibility here. If it's animal related, they're all waiting, they're lined up to eat, whether it's daytime animals, the birds and the daytime animals, or it's nighttime with the nighttime animals. They're waiting for something. They need their nourishment. I make sure everybody gets what they need so then I can continue on with what I have to do. And know in the back of my mind all the time, I'm doing what I can for everything else. And when, for example, I stock up on more bird food, I have two different places. And when they see me buying it, you know, shelling out some money, they say, wow, you really like the birds or you really feed those animals. And, you know, they think I'm crazy, wasting my money. And I tell them, I'm not wasting my money. I'm investing my money. Because what goes around comes around. Even when I don't have much money and I'm low on feed for critters, like in the dead of winter, for example, and I was struggling a lot of years after I quit IBM, but nonetheless, I knew these poor things are starving, and I would spend the money and go out and feed them. Now, I was doing it because I cared. I wasn't doing it because I know the Lord's going to say, look at Mike, he's doing that. Here you go, Mike. Here's some extra blessings coming your way. That's not my motive. My motive is I feel sympathy for these poor creatures struggling to survive in a harsh, cruel world that's harsh all from nature itself because she's fallen due to man. And then man himself, who, so, as we all know, there's plenty of pathetic people out there. And so I sympathize with them because of all that, being aware of all that, and I'm more than happy to share whatever little I have so that they can have something and have a chance to survive and serve creation as well. Because if they didn't have a purpose, why did God put them here?
Mm-hmm.
And so, nonetheless, I'm totally aware that it's going to come back to me, and it sure does. And it will come back to everybody the same way, as long as they have the right intentions, the right motivations.
Sure. I had a conversation a couple of days ago with a neighbor, and he was telling me he was gearing up to start trimming his shrubs and certain plants that he has that need to be cut back a little bit because they're getting a little bit too adventuresome, and they're wandering in places they don't belong. So his way of telling me what he was going to do was sort of dropping a hint that maybe I should consider doing the same thing. And he goes on to ask me, by the way, do you need a hedge trimmer or clippers or anything like that? You can borrow mine. And I thanked him. He'd never asked me before if I needed them, but this time he's asking me, and so I'm reading into it that he's waiting for me to do that. And then he pointed out, you know, this one bush that you have here that's really tall, these clippers I have will get all that, he says. And I said, no, they won't for a few more weeks. I have clippers that will cut them anyway. I've got a robin's nest in there, and they're being protected right now from birds of prey and cats, and so they have a place to hide. And you mark my words, in a day or so, one of those babies is going to come landing on the shrub next to that bush when it tries to fly. Wouldn't you know, the very next day, there was a little baby sparrow sitting in the middle of this yew. And I grabbed my camera and took a bunch of shots. And he actually flew into the neighbor's yard. So I took some pictures of him over there, too. And I showed these pictures to him, and I said, here's the proof of what I said.
Was it big enough to fly and stay off the ground so it could have a chance to make it?
Yeah. Its first shot was a failure. It landed right on the shrub in the smack dab in the middle, and I've got a photo, several photos of that. It was posing for me. and then I approached it to urge it to try flying again, and it flew the length of my yard and into the neighbor's yard and hid behind a bush, and I got some pictures of him hiding behind that bush, and no pun intended. Cheney did that too, didn't he?
Yeah, all the time.
And then he took off and flew the length of the yard and landed up in a tree. So he can fly.
He made it.
Yeah. Now, last year I had two squirrels in a big oak tree that I have on my property. Actually, I have two huge trees. And this one particular tree in the front yard is where they like to come down and check everything out in the yard. And my neighbor said, you know, last year we had two of those, and I know that one of them got killed by a car. The other, you know, the mate, I think it was the male that died, the mate found her a new mate, and now there are seven squirrels. Mm-hmm. And they're doing well. And what's interesting is because they grew up in that tree, and they see me mowing the lawn or doing work in the yard and watering, doing positive things, they are totally unafraid to approach me.
It's a beautiful thing, isn't it?
Yeah. So you can see your attitude about nature reflected back to you by how these animals respond. That's the
point
I'm trying
to make. What more proof do you need, right, Don, that it's all true and this is how things work?
Yes.
And it's I don't know, you know, is it exhilarating? It's beyond that. Just a few weeks ago, earlier in the morning, I was out there taking care of some work outside and feeding the first shift critters, and something startled everybody. There was trouble, some kind of trouble coming around, and this one baby squirrel, a young one, he came right to me, curled up at my feet. And I'm standing there looking at it, just saying, this is amazing. I mean, what trust. And it's a rookie squirrel. He's new. He's a young one and barely familiar with me, but he knew. Curled right up at my feet. That was a safe spot.
Mm-hmm.
And, you can't buy that. You can only earn that through the respect and love that creation deserves from us, because we are the guardian angels over this creation, over
mm-hmm.
this garden. That's why we're divine beings. That's our job. It's a beautiful thing. And the birds, how people live their whole lives and don't observe and study the birds. When friends come back here and they see how it is, I mean, it's like unbelievable. It's a small yard in a village here, but the wildlife is tremendous, and the birds are, I've got tons of all kinds of birds, as you know, Don. And
mm-hmm.
And it's such a thrill to watch them fly around. All the different birds, they all have their own style. And to watch them do it, and when the pigeons come in, soaring from great heights, beelining it right down, and you see them coming right down, hauling, and all of a sudden just put the brakes on gently and touch down. I wish I could do that. I wish I could get around like that. It's amazing. It's amazing ability to be able to do that. And I just admire and respect that so much. I go way out of my way to help these guys. And, Don, what's really great is nature knows it, and she responds accordingly, just like you said. And I've had two summers ago a pigeon show up out of nowhere with a crown on his head, where the feathers on the very back of the head, they stand up like a crown. And he was big, and it was a good-looking bird, and I knew it wasn't one of the local guys that I take care of. And sure enough, he came right down to me, ate right out of my hand, give him a water dish, and he drank the water right out of my hand. He had a tag on each leg. I knew he was somebody owned him, and I figured he was lost, and he was hungry and wanted water. So as soon as he seen me show the food and water, he came right to me, ate right out of my hand, took the water right out of my hand. I held the dish, and then he stuck around. He always stayed here. And during the daytime, if I was coming outside from working inside and I had to rush outside somewhere to the pool area, to the garage, and I'm just beelining it there because I'm busy, I have stuff on my mind, not thinking about, well, I got to feed everybody right now. I know that's due, but I got too much on my mind at that particular moment. As I'm beelining across the walkway, something hits me. And I say, what was that? I turn, it's the pigeon. Sitting now on my wooden fence right next to me on the walkway, letting me know he's here waiting, wants to eat, wants something to drink. And then last summer, I had a white dove do the same exact thing. Showed up out of nowhere, and I realized she spotted this place as an oasis. And so I offered him some food and water. He ate right out of my hand, took the water. I held the dish, drank right out of it with me holding it there. Stayed every day. As soon as the sun went down, it would take off. And then again, a lot of times, I just rush out of the house. I'm in there all morning working. I go outside quick to get something, walking along the walkway. Something hits me. I go, what was that? It's the dove, letting me know it's around and it wants some attention, wants to eat, and it's sitting right on the fence. Now, why are these birds doing that? Because they know, they can see. They can see what you're all about, what we're all about.
Mm-hmm.
They know if you're with them or not. And once you gain that kind of trust, believe me, your spiritual nature grows and opens up in ways you can't comprehend until
yes.
you actually experience it.
Yes, understanding and communing with nature is a fast path, or a fast track, I should say,
to
a higher consciousness.
To finding yourself.
Yes, and remembering. And you see, we know these things, so they're just reminding us. Well, Michael,
right.
It's been fascinating. We have to wrap our show for tonight, but I want to encourage people to go to my sponsors page at directlightproductions.com and check out Michael's private stock. the herbs and, oh man, the dragon juice is just phenomenal.
Thanks, John.
You will see things happen to you in emergency situations that you wouldn't think were possible. That's all I can say.
And, yes, thanks, John. It's a beautiful thing. I just got an email, if I can. A friend, client in California, with all kinds of problems plaguing her for the longest time, and had been using a lot of natural therapies and stuff to try to get well and stuff, but wasn't making any progress over many, many months. And in a short span of time, I got her pretty much where she wants to be, and just sent me another nice email today saying, Mike, I mean, it's unbelievable how good I'm doing. And now when I see friends I haven't seen in a while where they used to express concern like, oh, my gosh, what happened to you? What's wrong? Because she used to be so healthy looking when she was younger, even though she had these various problems, but it wasn't really manifesting outwardly yet. And so it got to the point where her friends that were close with her would express such concern like, what happened to you? My God, I'm worried about you. You better take care of yourself. Go do something. And now she sees them and they're all looking at her like, wow, what happened to you? Unbelievable. You look great. Wow. And so I love to hear that. That is just a beautiful, you know, it's a fortunate thing to be in service in that capacity.
Yes. Well, I want to encourage people, go to my sponsor's page, click on Michael Anthony, and check out his private stock. His contact information, both email and phone number, are also there on that page. Michael, thank you very much. Got to say goodnight.
It's a pleasure. Thank you, Don. Goodnight now.
Look forward to your next appearance here on Evident Footprints. In the meantime, you take care. Folks, you have been listening to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com and our special guest, Mr. Michael Anthony. Special thanks to Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, Seth Hendrick on the sound, and most of all...